All right. So Colossians, last week was the first week, and we kind of covered the where it was at, where Colossae was, when it was believed to be written by who, which was Paul, believed to be written somewhere between 60 to 64 AD while he was in prison. We talked about it's considered one of the five prison epistles. An epistle is simply a poem or other literary work in a form of a letter or a series of letters. The theme behind Colossians, compared to what's considered its kind of its sister book, which was Ephesians. Ephesians was central theme was based more on church. And now here we are with Colossians, and its central theme seems to be more based on Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. The whole premise that we understand that Paul was writing this book of Colossians is because while he was in prison, he was visited by Epaphras, and Epaphras is from Colossae, possibly heard the gospel while Paul was in Ephesus. It's believed that Epaphras helped start the church in Colossae. And as that church is growing and being fruitful, there are some other things that are being taught in the area. There's other types of influences, and there is a concern that those influences might affect the body. Some of those influences, we talked about individuals who were teaching at the time that started to claim that they had more knowledge than what the scriptures were providing. They had a higher understanding, and that people basically should listen to them. It was later on kind of understood that this was possibly a form of Gnosticism. That's what it ended up being called. So a more thorough knowledge that people were trying to present. And the idea of that Gnosticism as well was they were ignoring or diminishing the significance of the historic facts of the ministry, death, and the resurrection of Christ, and as it was not real. So that was kind of the things that Epaphras was concerned about. So when he went to Paul, he not only was kind of laying out some of the concerns, but he was showing how his love for the church. The beginning of Colossians, we talked, is Paul is really, it's identifying himself. He's basically giving his credentials because we understand that Paul had not yet visited Colossae. He has never been there. So he is giving the credentials basically in that beginning of Colossians of who he is and basically what his right is in establishing this letter. We got down into verses 6 through 8, and again, this is where we really understand that Paul had not been to Colossae, because it says that he heard of the gospel from Epaphras. So he had heard of it. He had not seen it. He actually just only heard of it. He heard of how bearing a fruit in Colossae, as it was being done throughout the world. And that, let's see, where are we at here? Bearing the fruit, so the saving effect of preaching the gospel, the growth of the church. And now we are getting into verses 9 through 12. It's four verses, but there's a lot of power in a lot of these verses. So we'll see how this plays out. Any questions or comments coming back from that first section, verses 1 through 8? Questions, comments? No? All right. So here we go. We'll read the next verses here. And really, it seems like that the first couple verses of this chapter, Paul is giving his credentials. The next part is he's giving thanks about the church and how it's being fruitful. And then now this in verses 9 through 12, it's a little bit of a change, but it's still kind of a prayer and part of this introduction. So here we are, verse 9. For the reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in the respects bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfast and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. Where I'm at here. So this is kind of an interesting piece here. There's a lot going on here. Not ceasing in praying. So again, he says that for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray. So again, I believe this is really hitting the point that Paul had not been to Colossae. And once he had heard of the church and what is going on, he's really hitting into the fact that prayer is such an important piece. It's such an important piece of us as Christians, not as just Christians who have been walking in the light for a while, but especially as new Christians. He is praying nonstop, so continually praying. And obviously it's not like truly nonstop every moment of every day, but it is a continuous prayer that he is raising a lot of things up to God. So how is he praying? What are we praying for? So from what I got out of this, there was he's praying for spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk in a worthy manner, to please God, to bear fruit, to increase the knowledge of God. He's praying for strength. He's praying for patience. And he's joyously giving thanks to God. So it's a lot of pieces here. And again, Paul really understands the necessity for prayer. If you look at, and kind of going forward in Colossians 4, 2 through 4, it's not just prayer for the church, but he understands that there's a need that as a leader, that there is a need for prayer for him as well. So he's asking for prayers for him. And we see we're again kind of moving forward in Colossians, but chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. So the importance of prayer, not just, again, for Christians, praying for the church, but the necessity of the church praying for each other and the leadership, that they may be able to have the right words to say. Say the words that can help show the light of Christ. And joyously giving thanks. So it kind of over, you know, with all this, we shouldn't be just going to God in prayer, just asking. But we really have to, he said this multiple times, that you have to joyously give thanks. Be thankful for what you have. Above all, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for the gifts that God has given us. We need to be thankful for having a church body that we can grow with. And that joy is really what's going to, I believe, really show the love that we have for one another. So never cease in prayer. I had something else here. It seemed. Nope. All right. So he begins this with saying that he's never ceasing in prayer. Now he's saying that's filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So one of the key words here, there's several key words that I kind of picked out within this section. Knowledge is one of them. The next piece, increasing in the knowledge, walking in a manner worthy of God, strengthened and steadfast and patient. So knowledge, the word knowledge here is really a deep word. If we go back to the Greek word of this, there's two different versions of knowledge that is being used. This one is a very deep one. It's more defined as clear and exact knowledge, correct knowledge, on the part of the knowing subject. So let's go to a couple of verses to kind of see the difference. So this is really a deep knowledge, like I'm going to be walking, I have the knowledge, and I'm going to apply that knowledge, versus just knowing something. So let's go John 18, 15 and 16. John 18, 15 and 16. So it says here, and Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought in Peter. So in verses 15 and 16, it says known. That is the same word as knowledge. If you go back to the Greek, the actual Greek word, it's gnosis. So knowledge, known. He just knew the guy. He is just known. Not a big deal. And then if we look at Romans 1, 19... Romans 1, verse 19. And it says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. So again, here that word known, it was just that information was given. Like, I know that information. So that's the kind of the base knowledge. Just the term, I know something. So to kind of hit the point of the knowledge that is used here in verse 19 in Colossians, let's turn to a couple verses. 1 Timothy 2 and 2:4. 1 Timothy 2:4. Actually, I'm going to start back in 3. So this, it says 2 verses 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So here it's in the context, it seems a little bit more deep. It's a deeper word, knowledge. Knowledge as I know it and I'm going to apply it. And then we go to Hebrews 10, 10 verse 26. And the word knowledge again here is that deep, it's epignosis, it's that deeper, correct knowledge, applicable knowledge, knowledge that I'm going to use, apply to my life. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So it's again, it's having that knowledge, having that information, and applying it, living it. Mike?
This type of knowledge, the way that I've heard it described in the past, is this is an intimate knowledge.
Intimate, yeah.
This is a type of knowledge, in a way, relationship-wise, that a man should know his wife, and vice versa. This is a kind of knowledge that if you're not like a working companion that you might have, that this is somebody that you know very intimately as far as understanding that person. And that takes it far beyond what most of us are willing to put forth.
Sure. So, yeah, the knowledge here is, like you said, it's intimate. It's very personal. It's not just, well, yeah, I know that book. I know that book. I've seen that book. I know the way to the lake, or I know the way to church. No, this is not that. Just I know. I have knowledge of how to drive there. This is that intimate piece. Yes, sir.
It's actually important to point out, too, you know, praying for knowledge and spiritual wisdom. Verse 10 starts out, so that you will. That's first 10 and 12 is all that's wisdom. And so the prayer is for that wisdom for them. And those verses after that are the result, although that is inclusive in the prayer, it says it's praying for that. So those next verses are the result of that knowledge of God's will.
Absolutely. So it's a...
You can't have those other things unless you have that.
Right, so it's a really good tie-in. I think. Thank you for that. So it's a really good tie-in. So that intimate knowledge really helps key into the fact the rest of what's going on here in the prayer. Mike?
Yeah, I'm kind of also leading it out. I notice that if you look at this, this is like a stair-step thing. One leads to the next.
Yeah.
And without the previous one, you don't have the one that follows. And it makes a full circle. Because he starts out with the knowledge of his will, and then once they end up increasing in the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
And so there's this progression that has to take place, and without each of those steps in place, there's no progression.
Yeah, and it's just it's an amazing thing. I mean, if you understand, and I think that's both of you, I appreciate it, understanding that word, the knowledge, what... the power that word alone means, as and then see the progression of the rest of this these verses. Really, I mean, it's an amazing thing. Not just a mental comprehension or an intellectual knowledge. It's a recognition or a full discernment and acknowledgement. And how do we gain that knowledge? I mean, it's not just a matter of, oh, I'm going to read it and so I know it. Right? So we have to get that knowledge in a way that, by way of just of reading, of studying, hearing the words, coming together as a body to help encourage one another, hear what others have to say, and be there for the body. Amen. Yeah, so, yeah, and again, like, this really ties into verse 10, increasing in the knowledge. It's like working out, right? If you don't continue to work out, if you don't continue to exercise, your muscles begin to have atrophy. Other things start happening. And a failure to increase really leads to that spiritual atrophy. So that decrease that gradual decline, it's a wasting away. So increasing in the knowledge. And there's so much to this. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we cannot have that... that understanding, that spiritual wisdom, unless, one, we have to hear it, we have to live it, we have to pray about it. So that we may walk in a manner worthy. So as again, this is starting, really tying in, that having that knowledge, having that intimate relationship with Christ and the Word helps us to walk in a manner worthy of God. That's what He is asking for.
And as far as that spiritual wisdom and knowledge, we can only get that through Christ. We can think we know it all our entire life, but we never really do until we are given that through Christ, only through Him can we obtain that.
Yeah. Mike, sorry.
Wisdom has to do with, I always think of like a craftsman, where he knows how to, like someone knows how to work with good wood, he's a craftsman, he knows how to get the results with wood, you know, and maybe friends of God's Word. And those two elements are the key to doing stuff.
Sure.
And so both things, if something doesn't go right or something happens, you can look at that and take knowledge from it, and also being able to look at the Bible and apply the knowledge there. And that's where that this next section of growth comes from, is, you know, not just saying, okay, I know the Word, now let's go do things. It's about how do these things make a difference for me, what does it look like,
right, and it's important that, well, I go to church, I know God, I go, but you can't just, it's not just checking off a box. There's more to it. Walking in a manner that is worthy of God. And understanding that it's not our walk. It is not our walk, but it's God's walk. We are looking to be on the path that God wants us to be. Mike, I'll get in.
So, you kind of just touched on it a little bit. It's this idea of being religious, for instance. Being religious does not save you. It's following God's will that saves you. And as our example that we have in the New Testament church, the scribes and the Pharisees were very, very religious.
Right.
And so are numerous other beliefs throughout the history of mankind. I mean, those people that were sacrificing their babies to the fire god was certainly religious people, but not God's religion.
Right, not God's walk. It's not what He's asking us to do. So what happens when we walk the righteous path? And I think this really starts, I mean, this is really tying into everything here. It's kind of like the steps as we're walking through this prayer. What happens when we walk that righteous path? So if we are actually, we have that intimate knowledge, we work on increasing that knowledge, we walk in a manner that's worthy of God, people start seeing it. People see that light. It encourages others to walk the same path that you are walking. You become a leader. It helps people learn God through you.
It also sets the stage for what we're going to be up against. It's all warned later on is that we need this knowledge so that when the ravenous wolves come in with the false doctrines and all that, they'll be ready. They'll have that armor of God on them. It's quite surprising today even that when people think of Christians and all that, and they just don't even know the basics. I was talking to somebody who didn't even know who Paul was. And they claimed, you know, for years and years of being Christian. So it's like, we are responsible to have this knowledge and wisdom so that we can tell people about God.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I think it's very important that we just don't go and just tell people, right? But that is an important piece. But in order for us to be able to tell people, we have to be walking in the right manner. We have to be walking on the right path. They have to be able to see that we are living what we're talking about as well, right? You know, walking in step. Here's a couple things. So Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah 10:23, I think points out the fact here that, as it says, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps." So he's saying that, again, it's not our steps that we need to be to focus on. Really, it's God's steps. He is directing us on that way. And again, we already know in other parts of the Bible that says it's a narrow path. Narrow is the path of to righteousness. And look, if you want to turn with me over to John, back to the New Testament here, John 15:1-2. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So as we're walking on that path, we're showing God's light. We're preaching in the right manner. We're talking to others about Christ. The idea is that this will also bear fruit. Not just bear fruit within us, where we are continuing to grow in the Spirit of Christ. But it's going to help encourage others and help others to see the light. And to help bring them to Christ. Honor guard. So, walking in step. And this is, I think, kind of going back to studying, having that intimate knowledge, that increasing in the knowledge that even though you are walking in step, you may be walking in step, you're following in the right path, but there are distractions. And I think, again, this is what Paul understands when he hears about other things that are going on. So I'm in the honor guard, did the military, and for everybody who's done military or seen, marching can be a very challenging thing. And you have somebody who is calling out which step you're supposed to be on. Christ is calling us and telling us which step to be on. So if we are focusing on that caller, on that individual who is giving us that direction, left, right, left, we are following in step. But it is so easy, as you are following in step, for one person to get off step. And if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden now you're following in this wrong step. And this wrong step is getting you off track. And again, it's why it is so important that we go back and think of who is trying to lead us. We need to follow those steps instead of the one in front of us, those distractions. Following out where we shouldn't be going. Stay focused on the commands. Easily distracted by missteps. It's a very it's a real thing. I've marching. I can all of a sudden somebody in front of me is off step, and there I am. I'm now off step instead of paying attention to the individual calling the steps. And that can happen in our walk with Christ. As we get distracted by worldly things, we get distracted and caught up in sin. This is going to happen. So how are we going to help build that knowledge, that intimate relationship? We need to have strengthened. We need to be strengthened in power. So as it says here, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. So again, kind of putting on the armor of God. We need to put on that armor. We need to ask for strength. And sometimes that strength is going to come in a different fashion. He's not going to just give us the strength. He might present us with a way to grow so that we can build our strength, right? Just like it's not our walk, again, we are not the source of our own strength. Strength will help us to overcome all these worldly temptations. Let's look back just a few pages here over to Ephesians 6. And 6 verses 10. And again, this is kind of going back where, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, putting on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So we have to be strong. We have to ask for that strength and understand that that strength may come in different fashions, but we need to ask for that strength.
That's why you hear pray without ceasing. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man that it all works together. This world is not our home. It is hard to walk in. It's hard enough to walk in with God. If you want to stay in heaven, you need to do it his way because he
has
never failed.
Absolutely.
To get to heaven. So we have to put forth some effort what we know to be right. Yeah,
and again, it's amazing. Like, this whole section really, it's like a circle. It kind of really goes back, because you can't have, like, it starts off here to tell you how to go, but then once you get to here, you have to kind of go back. You have to, again, go back to increasing on your knowledge. Continue to pray for being in step, asking for strength, asking for guidance, focus. Did I see another hand? All right. Steadfast in patience. So the strength with the power, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. You know, I think about that. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You know, thinking back to the story of David and Goliath, could David beat Goliath if he did not have God's glorious might on his side? There would have been no way. A little man versus this giant, right? Having that, and David knew that. That's why he went to God asking for help. Steadfast and patient. So steadfast, I think there's different versions. I'm in the American, New American Standard. There's different versions that are, instead of steadfast, it mentions fortitude and patience. Anybody have that? Fortitude and patience?
All endurance.
All endurance. Helps when I go to the right page. Long-suffering, endurance. Luke 21:19 uses the word endurance. And I believe Hebrews 10:36 "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Man, I think I missed something here where I had so many more thoughts that maybe I just did not save it and print it here. Long suffering and endurance.
It brings up the concept that the life of a child of God is not always going to be happy and full of positive excitement.
Yes.
You know, the idea of steadfastness and patience says that we're allowed to experience real life episodes that are oftentimes negative and hurtful, and that's how we develop steadfastness and patience. Right? So I mean, it's an all encompassing type of development. It's not just life is all fun and games for the child of God.
Yeah. Right. So thank you. Help me get back on track. Yes. So yeah. No, it's absolutely the long suffering, endurance. We're going to have those trials. We're going to have those tribulations. Just because we walk in a manner that is worthy of God doesn't mean that we're not going to have, like you said, those individual moments that we might experience some suffering. And it, really, the importance here as well is not to surrender to those circumstances. Not to surrender when we're under trial. That we hold fast, that we hold true to the walk, again, that God is asking us to walk. And the endurance is, it is temporary. Living by faith will have its hardships, but long-suffering is only temporary. It is only a temporary thing. We have God to turn to, and it's really that fellowship with God that we're striving to attain, and knowing that that fellowship with God is eternal. Those trials and tribulations, temporary. Being with God, walking with God, having that fellowship, that true intimate knowledge of God is going to be what is eternal. That is what we should be looking for. Steve, do you have a...
Just the idea of words with your kind of concept is being able to come at the situation to the glory of God. You know, whatever you do, you know, that our goal is to be able to be perfect in every situation to the glory of God. And, you know, and like you said, it is just keep your mind on the hope that is that it is a temporary thing. It's just a pathway to get one going, not to the goal. So as I'm going there, I'm just trying to commit everything that happens, whether it's any suffering, whether it's temptation or whatever it is, I'm just for someone to pity me, you know, turn to the glory of God, I'm going to be right.
Absolutely.
That's where wisdom and understanding really helps you.
Yeah.
How do I do that? Well, Jesus showed us how to do that, because that's all he did, right? He turned every situation to the glory of God.
And even if, and I feel like I agree with everything, that even if we continue to suffer, as long as we are suffering in because we're still holding true to God, that's in the glory of God, right? Is that correct? I mean, we die if we are killed because we are holding fast to the way of Christ, as it's shown here in the Bible, that we could suffer persecution. We could suffer, but as long as we continue to walk in that path of Christ, that is bringing glory to God. Julie?
And I think two things, communication and endurance, but we also need to be demonstrating patience and endurance to other people, because it is that one of the ways that our light shines. And with all this pandemic going on, it's an excellent opportunity for us to step forward and show
Right. How did we treat that? Did we just quit and just walk away? Right. Right. Absolutely.
Complain about it and grumble about it and never opportunity.
Yeah.
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 And it's an opportunity to grow and get better.
Absolutely. Mike?
I think what we're sharing, the book of Daniel, we're getting a good. We received a really good example of this being applied. Daniel was being persecuted because of his belief by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was going to throw him in a furnace. And the discussion was, yeah, my God, there's that intimate knowledge, my God can save me from this.
Sure.
But whether he chooses to or not, I'm still going to do what he tells me to do. So they were willing to pay the price, the persecution, die in the furnace, if that's, you know, God's will. But it wasn't going to change his actions. His actions was to follow God and not bow down to any other God. And that was it.
Yeah. And so, absolutely. And it's interesting, too, that so steadfast and patience. I was looking at steadfast in a way means patience, but in a different form. And then if you look at fortitude versus that steadfast, so fortitude and patience, I had here, it's translated. Patience, the first one, it is fortitude is translated patience, but it doesn't mean patience in the same sense of simply bowing the head and letting the tide of events flow over. It means not only the ability to bear things, but the ability to, in bearing them, to turn them into a glory. Kind of like how what Steve was talking about. It is conquering patience. It is the ability to deal triumphantly with anything that life can do to us. And then with patience, is usually translated as long-suffering. Its the basic meaning is patience with people. It is the quality in mind and heart which enables a man so that to bear with people that their unpleasantness, their maliciousness, cruelty will never drive us to be bitter. It's a spirit which never loses patience with, belief in, and hope for man. And to end this out here, so giving thanks joyously, not just giving thanks, but joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So joyously giving thanks. In John 15:11, joy is made full. It shows appreciation for what God has bestowed upon us. Any comments, questions? Receive joy. So, joy in the Lord, the overflowing gratitude. So, really, this is, it's an amazing thing where he's ending this. He begins in the first part of this, of Colossians 1, where in verse 3, he's giving thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And he's ending this section, really. And even though this is a continuous letter, it's kind of as a section of prayer. He's ending this with joyously giving thanks to the Father. So acknowledging that I'm praying, giving thanks to God, I ask for these things. And in the end of the prayer, I am joyously giving thanks to God, who is qualified to share, qualified us to share the inheritance of the saints in light. So, you know, I think with this, really to end it with this, the importance of prayer is so powerful. Not as just for new Christians, but continuing, like established Christians, Christians that have been walking in the light. Leaders in the church are asking for prayer so that they can present the light in a way that is fitting, not just in what we want, but in a manner that God wants us to present it, in a manner that God sees fit. And as we're asking for all these things, we should just not end on a, well, and forgive me when I sin. Be in. Right? I think really ask for things and then acknowledge God once again, giving thanks. Joyously giving thanks, being happy, because that intimate relationship, knowing, once again, going back, even though through those trials, those temporary things that we have to endure, the acknowledgement that our love, our path, our, where am I going? The intimate relationship that we have in God is going to be the eternal goal. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're acknowledging and giving thanks. And with that, we're out of time. We'll end with a quick word of prayer. And unless there's any other questions, comments. All right.